Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the show. Our email address, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Thanks for tuning in today. Hey, some good news for us here. Indiana Weekend has won a couple of awards from the Society of Professional Journalists and the Indiana Associated Press Broadcasters. We'll tell you about that later. In today's show, we'll also have a report on Indiana's time zones. In case you thought all that was settled, well, it's still a little sticky. But first, business is picking up in Nashville, Indiana, a favorite weekend trip half an hour east of Bloomington, just outside Brown County State Park. It's there on Indiana 135, also known as North Van Buren Street, kind of the main drag through town, where you will find Nashville's unofficial ambassador and owner of a place called the Carmel Corn Cottage.
My name is Jim Rispoli, and I have this shop here.
Okay. How long have you been there?
I've had it 15 years. The shop has been there 36 years.
Okay.
And our newest item is bacon popcorn, which we're doing right now.
Bacon popcorn.
And bacon's a big flavor out here now in this country. It's and ice cream and everything.
Can't go wrong with bacon.
Yeah.
So we had a late spring. Things really seem like they're starting to pick up here.
We need the weather. Consistent weather. It's up and down. 2 weeks ago when it was 80, town was jammed. And the weather's been back and forth, so it's up and down with the weather. You know, but once the weather breaks even, it'll be really busy, like it usually is.
Tell me where you came from.
Okay, I'm from Chicago. Born and raised, had a trucking business in Chicago, moved out here in 97, 98. Bought this shop. Was here 20 years when I bought it. And I like making popcorn. It's much easier than doing trucking business, and I enjoy it with the people.
So did you own the trucks or just drive yours?
I owned the trucks. Yeah. I had about six trucks, and ran piling for bridges for a company called Naylor Pipe all over Chicago in the Midwest area. Never got on the heavy road stuff where I was gone for days at a time,
How did you decide to come to Nashville?
Well, when I left Chicago, I bought a motorhome. Got out of the trucking business, bought a big motorhome, and did fairs and festivals all over the country. Traveled because I like driving.
And popcorn.
Didn't know popcorn.
What were you doing at these fairs?
Selling pet supplies. So when I came to town, I opened up the pet supply store, and that was good for about 3 years. People come to this town, it's basically the same people. And you sell them something that don't wear out, you don't see them again. So that business is going down. This business came up for sale, and I bought this business. And this is a business that people consume all the time. So popcorn's a good business. And it was an established business. When I had it, it had two types of popcorn, a cheese popcorn and a caramel popcorn. Now, if you look in there, there's about 25 different types of popcorn. But you got to have varieties nowadays,
I can't imagine anything further from Nashville than Chicago.
Well, this is a pretty part of the country, and I like being Indiana. I love being a Hoosier now. Chicago got... never mind. I'm just so glad to be out of the Illinois. I like Indiana. Yeah.
What's Nashville like for people who've not been here or been here for a while?
Nashville is a pretty part of the country. It's quaint, but September, October, November, it is jammed with people. More and more people I'm finding are coming in November because it's not as crowded as is in October. The summer months are vacation people with the kids and all that, families and all that. And come this fall, you'll see just a big difference in the groups of people that come out. And the sidewalks are jammed. We've got lines coming in our store on weekends.
And so you're originally from Chicago. Ruth there is from Ohio originally,
Ruth,
a long time ago.
Right. Ruth has been with me 7 years.
So everybody here is kind of from somewhere else. would you say?
Well, there's like there's about 800 people in this town, and I think maybe 400 of them are local, you know, original. And Brown County's got 15,000 people in this. I had more in my block in Chicago than this county's got, you know.
But it's, yes. You like living here.
I love living out here.
What is it that you like about this?
Well, Mayberry. You could you go to the post office, they know your name. You go to the bank, they know your name. People, you know people in town. I'm the president of the Lions Club out here, by the way. We got a Lions Club out here. We, you know, a lot of volunteerism in the town. Of course, we could use more volunteers. That's a problem with a lot of service clubs right now. They're looking for volunteers, you know.
Now, you must run into people all the time who look at all of this and say, man, I'd like to live here.
I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time.
What do they need to know?
Well, it's hard when you have a job in the city and your life wraps around the city. You know, I mean, you got the house, you got the kids, you got the city. It's hard to move out. I was fortunate. My kids were grown. I got rid of a trucking business. I was traveling, and I decided I'm going to settle someplace with South Carolina or Nashville. Nashville's closest to Chicago. South Carolina's a nice state, too. So it was a toss-up. We picked Nashville. I'm glad I did.
This town kind of reminds you of the South. Of
it does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. It's hilly. It's a beautiful part of the country.
What are the people like who come here?
They're from all over the country. I've got people from Germany in there. A few years back, I took a picture of a little baby eating an apple out here. The baby was like 8 months old, okay? He's gnawing on this apple. I took a picture. I put it on my wall. The woman that comes in town every now and then, and the kid's about 9 years now, you know. I guess he was a few years old. Maybe he was a couple of years old at the time. But anyhow, a woman came in and said, my baby could do that. She took a picture. She says, I'll send you the picture. She sent me the picture. She was from Russia. I got them pictures on the wall, the two pictures on the wall. One from Russia, one from the boat eating a caramel apple. We get them from all over the world here. You know, Nashville does, and I get them in here, too. That building right there, right over there.
Looks kind of like a,
one, the reddish one.
Yeah.
I used to have on that porch, I had a parrot, and he'd sit on a branch. He'd sit on the branch, okay? Had his wings clipped. One time, his wings, they were clipped, but evidently he got scared or something, and he went to the ground. He crawled up that tree right there. I didn't know he was in the tree until we started hearing him squawking up on top of the tree. I brought the cage over there, and we were starting hollering, Peanuts, come on down, Peanuts, come on down. He wouldn't come down. That night, the electric company with their truck came out with their
cherry picker
came out, and the guy was going to go up there and get him. I said, that bird's going to bite the hell out of you. He said, well, you do it. So I went up there with the cherry picker. The bird came right to me, but as you're coming down with the cherry picker, he's hitting all the branches, right? That bird is biting the hell out of my thumb. I mean, but I didn't leave him go, because if I let him go, he'd be in another branch that goes through the same thing. But people all day long were hearing the bird, seeing us with the cage. They were yelling up there. But it was just an all-day event with that bird up in the tree. That was a unique experience.
In my little town.
Jim Rispoli, owner of the Carmel Corn Store in the middle of Nashville, Indiana, on Indiana 135, the main drag through town, about half an hour east of Bloomington. The quickest way to get there is I-65 south to Indiana 46 west, but try to go by Indiana 135 at least one time for the scenery.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Indiana has a troubled history with time. For years, we were among only three states refusing to recognize daylight saving time. We made that change 5 years ago, but another, you could say larger issue, is still out there. What time zone are we supposed to be in?
The answer to that depends on whom you talk with. Indiana Weekend contributor Ian Shepherd talked with Sue Dillon, president of the Central Time Coalition, and Kevin Brininger, president of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Dillon's group says that putting Indiana on Central Time would help businesses and be more safe for children who are waiting for school buses.
So in 1960s, there was also an advantage to the businesses who were conducting financial transactions with Wall Street and financial centers in New York for Indiana to be on the same time, because at that time they relied on telephone and maybe telegraph to conduct businesses. 80 of Indiana's counties were switched to the Central Time, along with Michigan and parts of Kentucky. It was a big, big change. But business is changing, and we are seeing the advantages of instantaneous transfer of information through e-technology. So if you're going to conduct a financial transaction in New York, you're going to enter it on your computer and punch send. So those issues that justified the switch in the 1960s have been resolved. One time zone difference is a minor inconvenience. Two time zone differences becomes a greater inconvenience. Three time zone differences is a major inconvenience. So now we have a major inconvenience of being able to communicate with California, the largest economy in the United States, year-round.
Let's talk a little bit more about education. How would changing to Central Time help education?
Now, most students are being transported to school by bus. And it's expensive to operate school buses. So what school districts do is they run multiple routes. And that means they have to stagger the start time of school. So by the time the sun rose, many of those students had been out of bed for 3 hours and already completed their first class.
Would it be simple? Would it be difficult to make the change to Central Time?
It's very easy to make the change. The way that changes are made is that the next time you would change your clock, whichever way is appropriate, you just wouldn't change it. So it means that daylight saving time on March, we simply wouldn't move our clocks ahead, and that would place us into the Central Time zone.
Easy as that.
As easy as that, it's basically cost-free.
Do you have any outwards detractors, or is it more of just a general sentiment? Like, who opposes having Central Time?
Well, I'm sorry to say there is. The Indiana Chamber of Commerce claims that Eastern Daylight Saving Time benefits business, and they are citing that they are representing 26,000 businesses and customers who support Eastern Daylight Time. I don't think they have not yet substantiated that. They haven't been willing to even tell us one business. This is one of the reasons we think that we're calling for the legislature, the Indiana legislature, to form a study committee, because we would like to see the facts. We would like to see them presented. We have facts. We have data to prove what we're saying. We'd like to see their data.
I decided to follow up Sue Dillon's claims about the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. I spoke with President Kevin Brininger about the Chamber's official position on Central Time and what data they can provide.
We presented our data and our evidence and our research in 2005 when the legislation was being considered. Sue Dillon wasn't around this issue, wasn't lobbying back at that time. She's come along after several years afterwards and is now making allegations that we haven't presented any information. There are restaurant and retail outlets that support that. There are leisure organizations.
I'm just curious, these businesses might have to change protocol maybe because of Central Time?
Well, things like restaurants and grocery stores and golf courses and other recreational activities that depend on daylight or on customers who there's a lot of people that aren't allowed to drive or don't feel comfortable driving at night. And so if it gets dark an hour earlier, then, you know, they've got to figure out other ways to get their shopping and their done and their errands run and all kinds of other things. So there's huge ramifications to changing time zones.
What would happen if Central Time was, if Central Time Coalition was successful and they got Central Time broadly across Indiana, every county, what do you think would happen?
That is so incredibly unlikely to ever happen. But that said, I think it's almost assured that the counties around Cincinnati and Louisville would not observe Central Time. And I say that because when Indiana did not observe Daylight Savings Time previously, those counties opted to go ahead and observe Eastern Daylight Savings Time in violation of the law because they said they declared that they are too economically connected to Cincinnati and Louisville to be on a different time half the year. And also I recognize this is not an issue that everyone's going to agree on. That's certainly not the case. But I am confident that if you you would find, if you polled, a significant majority of people in Indiana would not want to switch to Central Time. A number of folks would, but I'm confident that most would not.
That's Kevin Briniger, president of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, talking with Indiana Weekend contributor Ian Shepherd about time zones. Professor Aaron Carmel of American University, an authority on time zone issues, has also weighed in. Carmel told USA Today that time is a very emotional and political issue. He suggests a study to determine which time zone Indiana residents do business with the most.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Many of you know that Nashville, Indiana that is quite the tourist destination. It's a very small town in a very beautiful part of the world, the rolling hills of Brown County, an artist's colony with a lot of history and character. With spring finally starting to bloom, we stop by Nashville for a look at the shops, the art, and of course, the people. Folks like Ruth Ferguson, who moved here from Martinsville. She was standing outside the Carmel Corn store where she works watching Jesse Fletcher, who was strumming a guitar on a bench right in the center of town.
What do you think of this guy? He's good, isn't he?
Well, this first time I've heard him, I just came out here to hear this end of it. But yeah, he's great.
This is a great time of year for Nashville, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure is.
How many years have you been working here?
7 years.
Did you come from somewhere else? Or?
Oh, well, yeah, I think everybody here in Nashville did come from somewhere else. I used to come down here and I loved it that I finally, when my kids got grown, I thought, I am moving to Nashville, so that's why I did.
Just up and did that. What's
ten,
that?
10 years ago.
Tell me what that was like. I mean, how was it to find a place, and were you nervous about such a big change?
Well, sure, I was nervous, but I did it, and I'm glad I did. So I'm here. Going to be here the rest of my life. But yeah, it's fun.
What do most people not know about Nashville, do you think?
I just always got a sense of peace when I would drive into town, and I still have that peace that is just different from everywhere else. In the countryside, and the people are great. I just love it.
I bet it's a lot of people's dream when they come here and they see all this, they go, wow, wouldn't it be something to live here? What would you tell them if somebody said, wow, this is a great place, I'd love to
live
here.
Oh, it is a great place. Come on. You know, we love all the new people, and they eventually get to meet other people around, and it's just a nice town to live in.
Is it hard to find a place to...
I didn't have any trouble, at all since I've been here. Yeah, and there's a lot of beautiful homes in the hills, and it's just great.
Tell me your name and where you're from and what you do.
Jesse Fletcher, right now unemployed. I live in Ottawa, Illinois.
What are you doing here in Nashville?
I came down for my friend to visit her family, and this is her grandfather's idea.
Is this the first time you've been to Nashville?
Yes, sir. Very first time.
Give me some of your impressions of being
here. Actually, I really like it. It's a small town, nice atmosphere. I mean, you get... Coming down here, there's not really too much you can't really do.
How long have you been playing music? Where you been?
Since I was about 9. I'm going to be 30 this year, and I'm all self-taught. Everything I play is all just by ear.
Have you done much playing in public like this?
No, actually, this is the very first time. I grew up playing in church. My grandma pastored a church up there in Ottawa, and kind of moved down to Arkansas and did my own thing, just sang karaoke, and this is actually the first time I've ever actually done this.
I like the tattoo, cowboy up with some horns.
Yep, that was from my old rodeo days. I rode bareback horses for a couple years.
That sounds like something you get hurt doing.
I've got a nice torn rotator cuff from it, but I might go back. I'm still young enough to do it, and it gets in your blood. You can't get it out.
What's the song you like playing the best that really talks to you?
Mostly When You Say Nothing At All, the one I just did. And to me, it was a song for me and my ex, and it just really means a lot to me because you know how they do. They just all mean a lot to you. But that's actually one that really means the most to me. That and Boots Can Boogie by Brooks and Dunn.
When you play in public, can you tell, what do you see as people are walking by?
I see the excitement on people's face and the love of music, whether it be country, rock and roll, or blues, and everybody just comes along and looks at it, and you see that they're happy. It makes you happy.
Jesse Fletcher of Ottawa, Illinois, playing guitar for the passing crowd from a park bench in the middle of Nashville, Indiana the other day. If you have not been to Brown County, take a ride. The best scenery is on Indiana 135 out of Indianapolis. The quick way is to take I-65 to Indiana 46. Go right on past Gnawbone, Indiana, and you'll be right there in Nashville. Finally, this little bit of news about us. Spring is the season for Journalism Awards. The Society of Professional Journalists and the Associated Press Broadcasters hold their annual meetings, and those groups have been good enough to recognize our work here on Indiana Weekend. The show won first place for Best Documentary from the Society of Professional Journalists last Saturday, and the Indiana Associated Press Broadcasters gave it a first place for Best Use of Radio Sound. Those are very nice to get, and of course we're grateful. What the awards don't say, but I should, is that Indiana Weekend is a terrific team effort with producer Marcus Jackman and the great folks at Indiana Public Radio, including news director Terry Heifetz, with guidance from Stephanie Weekman, Stan Sollers, Janet Sewell, Leah Chandler, Angie Rapp, and Emily Kowalski, and others. And of course, nothing happens without your support. Folks like Carolyn and Megan, Dan, and other folks who stop by and say hi and give us encouragement. Really appreciate that. Of course, it's great when you can drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. And if I may ask, if your heart tugs you in that direction, please consider a little extra support for Indiana Public Radio. Shows like this are about our community. Your support says you're with us in telling the story of daily life here. We each have a part in that story. So as Indiana Weekend picks up those awards, I just wanted to thank you for your support. It means a lot. Thank you so much. In the meantime, have a great week. And until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.